Father, we just ask this morning that you would anoint your word. Lord, we are common, weak people with no power whatsoever. We need your anointing. We need your power. We need you to bring life to your words as we speak them. We need you to bring life in our spirit as we hear your word, that it would come alive in us, that we would receive your word as good seed, and that we would let it grow in us, and we would not just walk away and forget what you say to us. God, we're just asking for you to empower your word this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're reversing things a little bit. I don't have too many kids today, and that's one reason that I'm doing it the way I am. I know what I'm getting ready to bring. I have shared with my grandkids. 7 of the kids are mine, grandkids. So they take up a lot of table space. And when they go to color their little cars, there's not enough room. So I thought if I brought this when they're not here, you other kids get the table and you have room to do your car. My grandkids can do it at my house later. But I had it all ready for the kids, and there's more parts to it for them upstairs. And this morning the Lord said the adults need to hear this in an adult way first, and then you can take the kids. So I'd like us to start 1 Corinthians 3:16. A couple places I'll wait for you to turn to, and there's some places I'll just quote, and you can write the reference down. My goodness, he towers over the both of you, you know? Where did you get so tall? Oh, do you want to come up and get a happy birthday song? I knew you'd say no, but happy birthday. Mothers, moms, they always do that kind of thing to you, you know? Harvey and I were getting ready to leave to go plant a church in Texas, and we went out to a Mexican restaurant with some friends. Whose birthday was it? Was it yours? Anyway, we get outside, and the guy throws this hat down on the ground, and he starts running around it, singing and dancing, you know, and making a big scene out of it. And we're in, yeah, fun. But if you do that to Janiyah, she just dies of embarrassment. Harvey, he likes embarrassment. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? That the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defiles that temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. If and when you accepted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moved into you to live inside of you. You are His church. You are His temple. You know, I was thinking about, okay, God, you know, we're meeting in a basement. Sometimes we meet in a gym. We meet in weird places, store back rooms, whatever. What happened to the holy temple you built in the Old Testament when you said, bring the purple and the scarlet and light the candles and put the cherubims hammered out of gold above the mercy seat? And you went to all that trouble to tell them, make a beautiful temple for God to come and dwell in. And now we just meet any place and we say it doesn't matter. Where's your beautiful temple? His beautiful temple is you. And that's why he made a big deal out of it. Because he treasures you. You are his beautiful temple. And it's not about whether you're pretty or whether you have nice clothes. It's about who's driving your car. Who lives inside that temple. And the glory of the beauty of God can shine out of your temple. I colored mine and I tried to glitter up these headlights. But I didn't do a very good job, so I didn't even show you, you know. Kids are forgiving. They can look at my mess and make theirs look better. But the headlights, our lights that show shine, that people see Jesus in us. He's in us, and His glory shines out of us like a light to draw men unto God. And that's His love, His gentleness, His goodness, His giving, His mercy. You know, when God lives in you, you do things that normal men wouldn't do. You give away things that others are selfishly holding on to. You help people when there's no benefit in it for you at all. And that says to them, God must be real. God must be real. When you let Him shine out of you, people know He's real. So He said, if we defile this temple of God, He will destroy us. It's an honor, it's a privilege to carry God around inside of you. And you're not to destroy the temple. So, where is Tom? Right. You're right in front of me. I'm looking way back there. Would you be my reader this morning? Look up 1 Corinthians 6. in chapter 6, verse 12 through 20. Let me get you a mic because I'm going to have you read again. If I can get one to you. Find him a hot one.
Yeah.
It can reach him, or he can just move up here. Here we go.
First Corinthians 6, verses 12 through 20.
Yes.
All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
If you want to get ready, 2 Corinthians 6, we'll go there later. Looking at that, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which God has given you? You know, when it goes on, and a lot of people say, oh, well, my body's the temple of God, then I can't be overweight, and I can't smoke, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, because I would be hurting my body, and I can't eat chocolate, and I can't drink Coke, because it hurts my body, and my body's... That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about fornication. Fornication is two becoming one. When you get married and you have intimacy, he says the two of you become one. If a man goes out and lays with a harlot, the two of them become one. So what God is talking about is intimacy. In sign language, this is the sign for that intimacy. The two just wrapped up into one together. So what God is talking about is idols, the things that you're intimate with, the things that you give yourself to, that you become one with. God is talking about idolatry, adultery spiritually. That is what defiles the temple of God. He wants you to belong to Him.
Right.
He should be the whole purpose of your life. Right. John 17 is all about Jesus praying that we would be one with God. Not one with idols of this world. Not one with money. Not one with the lust of how many riches I can get. Not one with how great can I look and everybody love me and look at me. Not one with pride. Not one with selfishness. Not one with greed and lying and cheating. And, you know, God tells us that those spirits don't get to go to heaven. What would they be doing in the house of God? Infiltrators. Idols. We're not to become one with those things.
Right.
We're to be one with our God. Let Him live freely in our temple. In 2 Corinthians... Oh, Tom, I went to the wrong place. I need chapter 5. Yes, 1 through 10.
Second Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
You know, I'm going to share something I wasn't going to share with you, because there's always the risk that somebody's going to go and do this. Do not go watch the series, Chuck. There are girls that don't dress so good in it once in a while, and things like that I'd rather you didn't go watch. But I've been watching it, and have you ever watched something and you think, man, I shouldn't watch this. I really should. Why am I watching this? I shouldn't watch this. But when I pray, I felt like God was saying, go ahead and watch it. Well, for me, there was a lesson. There was a parallel. There was something in that I needed to see. I would not want my husband to watch it, but honestly, girls dressed that way don't do anything for me. You know, but I'd rather he didn't go look at them. So, guys, don't go watch Chuck. But Chuck was a normal guy working in a place like Best Buy. They called it Buy More. He was just on the, instead of Geek Squad, he was on the Nerd Herd. He was just a normal, average, common guy, okay? Until he got this, they call it an intersect, and this computer program with all the spy wisdom and knowledge, how do you do karate, the fighting ability, all the power he needed to be a super spy, came inside of him. Now, it didn't work all the time, but he became a spy for the United States government. And whenever he would see something that was crucial to spying, he would have a flash. And bam, this computer would kick in and work. All of a sudden, he was super spy and he could do anything, you know? Well, God showed me the parallel to that. I said, God, why do I like that show? Because there's so much I don't like. It's so worldly. And he said, here's your parallel. You, everybody desires to be patriotic. Everybody wants to be a patriot. Now, in the last season with Chuck, he quit working for the government and he started a business, Spy for Hire. I don't even like that. I don't even like the show with him working for money. Why? We all want to be a patriot. I wish that America was pure and wonderful and we could all just give up our life to be a spy for America. But you know what? She's not pure and wonderful. And her spies sleep with the enemy and they lie and they murder and they do wicked things in the name of patriotism. But we are patriots. We're patriots for the kingdom of God. And that's what appeals to us. We like the idea of us common people with no power or ability suddenly as a patriot for the kingdom of God, and we have an intercept. We have the Holy Spirit living in us.
Right.
And whenever that flash of God comes upon us in ministry, bam, power to do the work of God. Power to do the work of God because of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have an intercept. And we're a patriot to the kingdom of God. And all of the weapons of the kingdom of God are opposite of the world's spies. We don't kill, we save life. We don't lie, we always speak truth. We don't hate the enemy, we love the enemy. All of our weapons are God's character and they're powerful, more powerful than those of the human spies. So if you love spy movies and you love superpower heroes, you can be one and you can have superpower. But it's God's kingdom you have to live for and stand for. And it's God's power and glory that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Common men. He has chosen the weak and the base and the despised and those who have nothing. He chooses you. He chooses you and He will live in you if you let Him drive your car through this life, your temporary vehicle to get through this life and arrive in your true country. You get to go back home where it's a wonderful country. But you have to decide who drives your car through this world before you go there. You have a greater call. You have a greater purpose. God made you. He created you and He put you here with purpose. And until you come in oneness with Him and let Him live in you, you're just a nerd herd at the Buy More. But you can be more when you become one with God. I wasn't going to share that because men, please don't go watch Chuck. I mean, that woman, she's very sexy. She'll cause you to lust. And, you know, she doesn't cause us women to lust unless you're a lesbian, but I'm not. So that didn't affect me. But guys, you know, don't go watch things that make you lust, okay? But there was a good message in it. There's windows that God speaks through. In 2 Corinthians 6 says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. You're not the temple of some statue of Buddha, a fat man sitting there, you know, they throw food around him. You have a living God, and he will live in you.
Right.
As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Spirits are invisible. We don't see them. We don't usually hear them verbally. They speak to us through our thoughts.
2
Corinthians 6:14 through 18 is the area there. Some of these you need to just write down because I'm actually not probably even your main thing down here today, so I was trying to move through and take the kids off, but maybe I am. I don't know. John 3:1-8 is talking about being born again. Nicodemus, the religious ruler, came to Jesus and he said, What can I do to get to go to heaven? And Jesus said, you have to be born again. And he said, can I get back in my mother's womb? And he said, no, you have to be born of the Spirit of God, birthed into the family of God,
right,
by his Spirit coming inside of you.
Right.
And he begins to change you, how you think, how you feel. He changes you. You have to be born again of this invisible Spirit. God said, I am Spirit. He that worships me must worship me in spirit and in truth. You have to come to believe and to know that God is. And that he brings these thoughts. He brings these desires. And you have to live a life of faith, knowing that he is spirit. Now, there's other spirits. There's other spirits. There's evil spirits that want to drive your car. There's spirits. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. There's like two spirits going on all the time talking to you.
Right.
And his children know his voice. What is God saying to you? What is the enemy saying to you? Who do you listen to? Because who you listen to gets to drive your car.
Right.
Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Right.
We are sealed with his Spirit when we accept him. So who do you want driving your car? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You cannot even get God to come and live in your car until you come desiring him, repentance towards God. There has to be a time when you choose God. I want God. Repentance, not from your sin yet, well, sort of, but toward God. God, this has been my life to this point, but I see that you are real and you are good and you are God, and I want to give my whole life to you. You are my choice. I want you.
Right.
But God is a holy God, and you have this sin that still is in you. And that's when the faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ comes. God said, if you really want me, if you really want to be one with me, then I give my Son, who never sinned, to die in your place and pay for your sin. Come to Jesus. Give him all your sin. And he will give you all his life. And he will begin to live in you and transform you. As we behold him, we're transformed into the same image as God, because we were created in his image. But you have to make the choice for God. Give him your life. Accept Christ's payment for your sin. Let his Holy Spirit come in and begin to change you. You cannot change yourself. But you have to give God open doors into you by reading his word, by coming to church and hearing the word. He empowers the preaching of his word. He empowers the reading of his word. That's an open door. To say, God, I can't change, but I can do what I can do, and I can open a door to let you change me. I want you to change me. So let's pray this prayer, Psalm 145:10. Teach me to do thy will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. The evil spirits. If you don't believe there's evil spirits, I mean, just read Matthew 8. You know, people came that were possessed of devils, and Jesus cast those spirits out of them, and he healed them. Matthew 10, when Jesus called unto his disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. So what are the evil spirits? Anger, selfishness, hate, unforgiveness, lying, stealing, cheating, greed, disobedience, and bad attitudes of all kinds. What is God's spirit? Love, kindness, giving, sharing, helping, forgiving, truth, obedience to God. The only way we know who's driving your car is by the attitudes that we see in you. So are you carrying the cross? Are you claiming to be a Christian? The only way we know that's true is if Jesus is shining out your headlights by the attitudes of Christ that you carry. Otherwise, we think the devil's driving your car, and we don't want that to happen, do we? We want the devil driving our car. The children have a song they sing, and man, I forgot Janiah wouldn't be here, so I'm going to need help. I only want Jesus living in me. Can you do it? It's still Tom's mic, so everybody can hear you, or do you want this one?
I don't need it.
We want it on tape.
I only want Jesus living in me. Only want Jesus living in me. Want no bad devil's gonna kick him out. Want no bad devil's gonna kick him out. Only want Jesus living in me all the time.
And when I get mad, I'm gonna run, run, run.
I don't know that one.
Run, run, run to Jesus.
Yeah, you do it.
You put a smile on my face.
I
forgot
that.
The rest. You kids, you know this song, don't you?
How
no,
that go?
Not that part. Sometimes we drum them out and, you know, shout them out and all kinds of things. But that's the song Janiah has been teaching the kids. I only want Jesus living in me. And it's not only a song. All day long, when they do something bad and they don't want to repent, she said, who do you want living in you? Who do you want living in you? Who do you want driving your life, driving your car? I only want Jesus living in me. Tell those bad spirits, take a hike. You know anger is a spirit? It's a spirit. It is not you. I can prove it's not you. You were created in the image of God, and he doesn't have that spirit. It's not you. Selfish is not you. You were created just exactly like your daddy, and he's not selfish. He's very giving. It is not the real you. Somewhere in your life, you opened a door and let those things come in.
Yep.
And you can open the door and tell them to get out.
Yep.
That's all you've got to do. Get out of my car. God is driving my car. I always get to experience what I preach, even when I think I already knew it. You know that God's very good at keeping us humble. So I'm praying this morning before coming down. And there's three parts to this game that I'm involved in creating. There is the board game, and there is the cash play wallet game that kids carry around with them. And then there's the iPhone application game. The board game went beautifully, and it's in print. The cash play went beautifully. It's in print. They're working on it right now. Now I'm working on the iPhone. I had to work with new people on this, people that I don't know and people that are way smarter than me and people that tell me what they want in languages. I don't have a clue what they're talking about. And anyway, so in my vision, I see three motorboats. Going. The first one, zoom, powerful driver, the boat's flying by. Second boat, zoom, flying by. Third boat that I'm in, putt, 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 putt. It's got a bad driver. Another boat comes, zoom, passes us up. God is driving it, and he said, you need to get rid of your driver so you can catch up. And I'm like, who's driving my boat? You are. Well, you are letting spirits of intimidation and fear, insecurity, you're letting them drive your boat. And I went, wow, that's true. Because I don't confront this programmer because I'm intimidated by him. So I just keep trying to do whatever he says, and then I'm frustrated. God said, I'm coming back for you. And he turned his boat around and came back, and he grabbed me up, put me in his boat, And I broke agreement with the other things, those spirits. And I said, whatever you say, God, you're smarter than my programmer. You have more wisdom than my programmer. And you know what this game's about, and he does not. And so I need to get bolder in God and let that man know, this is what the game's about, and you need to make it happen. You're the programmer, I'm not. But this is the game, make it happen. I haven't been doing that. I've been backing up all the time in intimidation. So I got a new driver, and we're going to get that boat flying now. But, you know, it's the same thing. Who was driving my boat? Who's driving our car? We need the power of that flash of God. I can't do this, God, but you can. I can't, but you can and you will when I let you and cooperate with you and listen to you. Father, we just ask you again that you quicken this lesson to us, and we ask that we would just all surrender our cars to you. Whatever these cars look like, they're temporary anyway. Doesn't matter if we have an old junker or a brand new Mercedes-Benz. It only matters who's behind the wheel. So we want you to drive our car, drive our life, God. We love you and we yield to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.